everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show. Loads of interviews coming up on this week's show. Later, we're going to have a full fixture preview for this weekend's matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division, as we're going to be joined by North East Non-League reporter Mark Carruthers. We're also going to be joined by Nick Gray at Morpeth Town and Scarborough Athletics' Darren Kelly. We're going to be looking back at last weekend's results in the league with James Hayes. But to kick things off this week, we obviously have to start with the storm damage from last weekend. In a second, we're going to be hearing from Wishbeach Town Chairman Paul Brenchley with regards to one of their stands, which I don't know if you've seen the pictures on social media. It just really struggled in the storm last week, and Wishbeach have set up a fundraising page. So we're going to be hearing from Paul shortly. But we're going to start the show by talking Tadcaster Albion and the flood damage from last weekend's storm. And for an update from Tadcaster Albion on Friday morning, I caught up with their chairman, his Andrew Charlesworth. Well, Andrew, a big thank you for joining us. And horrible, that's all we can say really at the moment. Where are we up to at the ground?
Yeah, well, we were flooded on Sunday night, Monday morning. We had about 1.6, 1.8 metres worth of water all over our pitch. And it's unfortunately got into our clubhouse. It's come up through the floor. We actually have flood doors that's help prevent some water ingress, but it's come up through the floor. And then we had winds have unfortunately caused the roof to leak, so we've got water coming in from both ends. The water is now receding. Unfortunately, it's taking part of our perimeter fence down as well. So, and we're just on a bit of a wait and see with Storm Dennis now. So, it's really just knocked us for six, really.
Yeah, and this is the second time we've had a conversation like this. So, I mean, you put out a press release just, you know, highlighting all the difficulties that are there. I mean, it's tough, isn't it, to keep this thing going with everything that's hitting you year on year?
It is. It's very, very tough. When we had a really bad one in 2015, we had flood insurance. So we've actually, you know, we used that to recover then, but now we can't get any flood insurance at all. So we've used all our reserves up, and we really need help to make the facility flood resilient. We can't do that ourselves. You know, we would need to raise a significant amount of money, and this is where we need the FA, the football community, Football Foundation, and our county FA to step in and help us.
And what's been the reaction to those funding bodies?
We've actually, it's quite positive. The County FA and the Football Foundation are coming down next week to review our situation. And we're just going to have to see what assistance they can give us.
So, when it comes to the immediate future, like you say, Storm Dennis is on the way. So, you're just going to have to sit back and wait. But what's your medium-term plans then? If you do get support from these funding bodies, what can be done to secure the future for Tadcaster?
Well, the only way we can really secure the future is to knock our existing clubhouse down and build a two-storey one and make it flood resilient, so the ground floor would be sacrificial, and that would allow us to continue in our current location.
And you've set up a Just Giving page as well, and that's available. The links are available via social media and through the website tadalbion.com. How important are these funds from donations that are coming in from supporters from the club, but from other non-league clubs and that kind of thing? How important are they for the stability of the club in the immediate term?
Yeah, it's really, really essential. I mean, we need these monies in quite quickly so we can get ourselves back up and running. For one reason or another, our next home game's not till the 7th of March, so we're really, really lucky there. So we have got time to recover. But we just need to, you know, we need to sort the floor out, we need to sort the roof out, our boiler, the back fence. There's so many immediate issues. And then, like you were saying earlier on, if we can sort out a bit more medium-term future with the Football Foundation and County FA, you know, that's the way forward. But, you know, we just need people's help. And it's really, really appreciated, I must say.
And is it not just donations? I'd imagine you want some expertise as well, that kind of thing, or manpower just to help out over the coming weeks?
Yeah, we've had many volunteers come forward, and it's, as I said, we're just waiting for Storm Dennis, but we've also had a guy who's willing to come and dry our carpets for us. So yeah, there's any offers of help are really, really appreciated. So, you know, we will be putting out requests for some specialist services if people just keep an eye on Twitter and our website.
And not just the club, Andrew, but how are you and the committee and that side of things as well? Because, you know, this you keep bouncing back like yo-yos. I mean, how are you all holding up at the moment?
Yeah, it's stressful. Obviously, we're all volunteers. We've all got full-time jobs, and it's really, really hard work. We're trying to keep everything going and keep everything positive, because, like you just said, it's like being a punch bag. You just get knocked over, and then you just got to stand up again and keep going.
Tadcaster Albion chairman Andrew Charlesworth joining us here on the NPL show. And the links to Tadcaster Albion's Just Giving page is available in the description to this podcast. But for other links available and for an update on what's going on at Tadcaster, you can visit the website tadalbion.com. And it wasn't just flood damage that was caused from the storms last weekend. High winds played havoc with various grounds, and especially at Wishbeach Town, who suffered horrendous damage to one of their stands at the ground. And for more on this now, and for fundraising efforts at the Cambridgeshire Club, we should be joined now down the other end of the phone by chairman at Wishbeach Town. It's Paul Brenchley who joins us now. Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. And well, the photographs on social media, it looks horrendous. I mean, what's the current state of the ground now?
It was horrendous on Sunday morning when I looked at it. So at the moment, a local firm has kindly offered to dismantle it. And at the moment, it's in that process. It is a bit of an awkward dismantling process, because we're hoping to use some of the materials. So we can't go in there gung-ho and cut it all up. So it's got to be unbolted. So, but unfortunately, as it's late and it's all under stress, and it's a bit difficult, but they're getting there. They're getting there. They've been there a week now, and probably got another a week ahead of them before they can get it dismantled and safe.
The worrying thing is as well, I mean, we've just heard from Tadcaster Albion. I mean, it's the fact that there's another storm on the way, and it's really complicated, isn't it? And I mean, what's the mood at the club like at the moment?
Well, it's quite buoyant, actually, because the response for help and money's has been overwhelming, really. And the phone is still ringing. It's been overwhelming. We got one of the supporters has set up a GoFund. That's got up to about £1,500 and still going. It's just been tremendous, really, the support. At the moment, we're doing remedial work on the south stand to make sure it's safe and bracing it for Dennis when Dennis comes in. Dennis is on his way.
He is, yeah. It's a ridiculous name for a storm, in all fairness. I've only known nice Dennises. But I was going to say, when it comes to the fundraising side, the link of which is available in the description to this podcast, and we'll make sure the website links are given out in a second or two. But, you know, like you say, when your back's against the wall, this is where the community comes out in force, and not just the non-league community, but the community around Wishbeach and Cambridgeshire and the like. I mean, superb fundraising been going on over the last 72 hours or so.
It's been overwhelming. It's a bit humbling, really, because people you've never met before and different bodies, they've all come forward offering whatever they can. Whether it's a penny or a pound, it's just been overwhelming. What I was hoping it was going to happen is it was all going to go viral and get a million hits at a pair of knees, but I'm just being optimistic.
Well, you never know. You're getting there, aren't you? Like you say, approaching 2,000 now, and it is early days in the fundraising. But when it comes to what the future holds, then, like you say, I mean, you're hoping to reuse some of the materials from the old stand. But what's the medium term now for the club? How long do you think it's going to take to get things back to relatively normal?
I don't think it's going to take all that long, particularly. I think once the stand is removed, we'll have a stock take of what we've got there and what we can use. I envision it being back up within a month.
Wow.
Hopefully, I can't see a problem. I've had to call this game off this Saturday. I was more concerned with the south stand, the one that's standing, rather than the one that's down. I was more concerned with bracing that one up, ready for Dennis. Obviously, spectator safety is paramount, so league agreed with us, and we managed to postpone this week, which is a home game. We're away the week after, the Saturday after we're away, so that gives us another couple of weeks. I envisage it going up fairly quick.
Like you say, this weekend's match against Vickley has been postponed, and equal, like you say, a wise call, I'm going to suggest. But when it comes to fundraising, wishbeachtownfc.co.uk and at wishbeachtownfc on Twitter. I was going to end this poll by basically saying, are you enthusiastic about the club bouncing back from this? But you could tell you are. So that's good news, isn't it?
Oh, I'm enthusiastic. It's not all doom and gloom. It looked a bit bleak last Sunday, but I'm optimistic. The club's optimistic. The fans have been fantastic. The financial support from all quarters is just unbelievable. It's quite humbling, really.
Paul Brenchley there, chairman of Wishbeach Town, joining us here on the NPL show. And a big good luck to everyone at Wishbeach Town over the coming weeks. But to matters on the pitch now on the NPL show. And earlier in the week, on Wednesday to be precise, I caught up with the one, the only, Mr. James Hayes for a run through all last weekend's results in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. So sending our best wishes to all the clubs affected by the storms last week, and a big good luck for this week because, like we said, Storm Dennis on the way, but hopefully it won't be as severe. But it was one of those weekends just gone, and all the best to those clubs in recovering things. But to matters on the pitch we turn to now, James, and Saturday's results. There were some mightily important results at the weekend, and one game in particular that I was following was South Shields against Nantwich Town. I was following it from afar, obviously, but it was of interest to a lot of people. It was game of the weekend in the NPL, and it finished South Shields 1, Nantwich Town 4. Casper Hughes getting the opening goal for Nantwich Town. Jason Gilchrist scoring an equaliser on 72 minutes. Now, ordinarily, that would mean South Shields kicking their legs, and like they did against Mickleover a couple of weeks ago. But Nantwich Town, they scored firing own goal on 80 minutes and then scored two goals late on to make it 4-1, James. That's a phenomenal result and puts Nantwich, not just in the playoff race, but if results go a certain way over the next few weeks, in the title race.
Being the title plate race has just blown wide open once again. I hope South Shields have got this game in hand at this moment in time, but so have FC United and Nantwich, let's not forget that bit too. Got a big opportunity there for everyone to get involved, but a huge result that for Nantwich, especially the last 5 minutes of the game, where they really put the game to bed. And I'm not going to say unexpectedly, but especially in the 90th minute, two late goals to make it the 4-1. That shows what Nantwich are made of. South Shields now two home defeats on the bounce. I don't think they've had that at all since they joined the league, and they've got opportunity to recover, especially with a game in hand. But that game in hand is coming more and more crucial as we speak.
Yes, well, tonight, as we record this, it's on Wednesday. They're playing Morpeth Town in the Integral League Cup. And we'll come back to Morpeth in a second because we are going to be hearing from Nick Gray. Morpeth aren't out of it either. They're in ninth at the moment, but we'll cover that off in a second. But a bit higher up the table, Basford United, could they capitalise on South Shields dropping points? Well, Basford were hosting FC United. Could FC United capitalise on South Shields dropping points? Well, no. Well, they could. They've got a draw. A hard-fought draw as well between the pair of them. Nothing separating them, really, in all fairness, on the afternoon. I think both managers will accept it's a fair result. But FC United, their unbeaten run continues, and they've not been beaten since October, when, ironically, it was Basford who beat them.
And they get well, again, continue a run into it against a side that famously got the win against FC United at the time, too. But everyone said last week it was going to be a close game. And potentially
stop going on about the headed goal. Seriously.
I didn't mention it.
You did. You hinted at it. Carry on.
But anyway, I've been at the same time. Basford were a bit of a good one up to that point before their defeat to Gainsborough the week before. I think both sides would have took the point under the circumstances.
And, one team who really capitalised from South Shields dropping points, because let's be honest, Basford and FC also dropped points at the weekend. So it was a great opportunity for Lancaster City, but it was going to be a tough test. They were going to stay to the park to take on Radcliffe. But Lancaster City overcame Radcliffe, and in a big way. They beat them by 3-0. That sees the top three now separated by just 2 points. Lancaster do have played a game, a couple of games more than South Shields, in a game more than Basford. But that's put Lancaster back involved.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit edited out of the main show last week, where I said it would be a 3-0 win, and I was right for so at the same time.
I was doing you a favour. Did you predict a 3-0 win? I don't think you did.
I did.
I wouldn't have edited out your prediction, I don't think.
Left it with Berkey getting it all, didn't you, rather me? Cut it out completely. I think he said we're going to absolutely mull.
Oh, it was short of time, mate. It was 1 hour, 1 minute last week. Come on. One prediction's enough.
Yeah, but anyway, Lancaster, both, again, game going to form at this moment in time. Lancaster have a great record against Radcliffe. Radcliffe just nothing on form since the departure of John Macken and Frank Sinclair. That's now 9 games. One win out of 9 games. Again, it's not worrying form, especially with a lot of results going Radcliffe's way a little bit lower down the table. But it's still something to be concerned of at this moment in time.
Well, FC United are in fourth, 4 points behind Lancaster, but FC do have 3 games in hand. FC are on the same number of points as Nantwich Town, who also have 3 games in hand over Lancaster City. But as I was hinting at before, it's a big few weeks for FC and Nantwich Town coming up. So plenty of twists and turns to go. Warrington Town currently outside the playoffs, 4 points outside the playoffs. Big week to come for them as well, and we'll have a full fixture preview with Mark Carruthers, Northeast non-league journalist, shortly. But Warrington obviously didn't have a game last weekend due to Storm Ciara. But it was an interesting week for Scarborough Athletic, because Scarborough have crept up on Warrington now. They're 6 points outside the playoffs. They've played 4 games more than Warrington, 4 games more than Nantwich, 4 games more than FC United. But they were victorious on Saturday, beating Hyde United at Ewan Fields by 1-0. So let's have some reaction to that win there, and just to see if I'm correct in my thinking as well about Scarborough Athletic for the closing months of the season. On Friday, I caught up with their manager. Here's Darren Kelly. Well, Darren, a big thank you for joining us, and a happy new year to you. And, well, Scarborough inching their way towards the playoffs. What's the mood in the camp like at the moment?
Well, the mood in the camp, as always, is very good, especially when you're winning. But, you know, the challenge always is to continue winning. Winning creates that. It creates a good environment. It creates a good changing room. And, you know, again, it's important that we take each game as it comes, but we keep striving towards our goals and what we're looking to achieve. And effectively, that's to get as high up the league as we can. But, you know, I mean, so far, so good. But I still think there's more and better to come.
It was a good weekend just gone. Obviously, you're returning back to your old haunts, Hyde United. A 1-0 win there. What did you make of the afternoon?
I thought the afternoon in itself, it was great to see so many friends, as I can call them now, after 3.5 years. And again, you know, the game, I thought it was a game that, you know, both defences were on top for the majority. But it was really a moment of brilliance from Kieran Glynn to get the goal that he did. But I thought over the game, you know, I think our football was probably the better played. And we had probably the better chances. So to come away with a clean sheet and a good 3 points, was fantastic.
Can we talk about Kieran Glynn's goal?
Yes, absolutely.
How was it for you where you were?
But you know what? I'm not surprised, because you see him in training and games. I've seen him before. You see he's got it in the locker. And when he picked that ball, and again, what he does very well, he gets the ball, you know, from lower positions and really drives at opposition midfield defences. And effectively, it was the same thing. Only this time, maybe rather than take it on further, he thought it'd have a shot from about 30, 35 yards, and he'd done it. And if there's ever a shot that seems perfect, it's it, because it hit the under part of the crossbar and went in. So, yeah, it was a fantastic goal, and a goal I think, you know, he deserved through his performances, you know, since he's come in. He's deserved that goal.
Well, that goal, as basically, like we said earlier, it's taken you up to seventh in the league table. You're 6 points from the playoffs. You have played a few games more than everyone else, but, you know, it's the old adage, isn't it? You would rather have the points on the board at this stage of the season. So you head into this game with Bamber Bridge with something to aim for. So What is your target now, Darren, really, as we head towards middle of Feb?
You know, when I first came into the club, the target was not to get relegated, because I think the team was 19 when it first came in. So we're probably about 3 points from safety, if you look at it from a mathematical point of view. So I think first and foremost, it's to get to that sort of 44 point barrier, you know, that can ensure us our safety. And then after that, we'll just, you know, not going to get drawn into the playoff side of it or anything like that. It's just a matter of my focus is Bamber Bridge on Saturday. Playing in front, you know, we'll have fantastic support. We'll get behind the team. And hopefully we can go and put on a display that's worthy of 3 points. Then once that's over, again, we'll evaluate and we'll go in and prepare for the week ahead, which will be a very, very tough game away at Warrington. But as I say, the focus is this week, Bamber Bridge, and, you know, again in front of a good rapturous home crowd, getting the 3 points. And, you know, if the boys play the way they have been, I've no doubt we'll get it.
It's kind of interesting, because it's true what you said. I mean, when you took over the job, that was, you know, the interview we did, that was the tone. It was, we need to get away from the relegation places. You're playing Bamber Bridge, and, you know, Jamie Milligan, when he came in, that was the same, and the both of you have been flying ever since. So it's good that you're going head-to-head here, and to secure safety, I suppose, as well, from your point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Millie's doing a great job down there. His first sort of tenure in management. Looking at their squad, there's some very good players as well, Ben, and we need to be on the front foot. We've done a bit of work on them. I've drip-fed the, you know, what I see, the information the players need to know in regards to the fixture. I try not to bombard them too much, just what they need to know in regards to the strengths and weaknesses and that. And it's just a matter of going there Saturday, making sure the work ethic's there, which it has been from the day I've come in. But ultimately, that, you know, carrying out the quality that I know we can bring to the table. And if we do that and implement the things we worked on in training, as I said, be very hopeful of getting the 3 points.
A big thank you to Darren for joining us on this week's show. But let's talk about Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge Celtic have now been leapfrogged by Scarborough. Stalybridge Celtic 1-1 at Marsden Road, taking on Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers are now 5 games unbeaten, James, and have moved up the form tables. They're now the 14th most informed team in the league, and below them, there's Buxton, there's Atherton Coles, there's Grantham, and there's Radcliffe. I have to put that on record. There's Matlock as well. So they're heading in the right direction. Is there enough road left for the Great Escape?
Again, results going their way a little bit at weekend, definitely so. Obviously, the situation's in the league at the moment, there's only 2 teams going down because of the record in the Southern Central being a lot worse compared to Atherton Coles at this moment in time. To get out of that situation, you need to be getting a party game at this moment, and Stafford are actually doing that. If you can start picking up a couple of wins and continue playing against the form, against Grantham, Aberdeen, Ashton, everyone like that, I think they're starting to like the fact of being a bit of the underdogs, if that makes sense. They're starting to pick up points where they, in the past, were getting defeats.
Yes, absolutely. Well, a good point there for Stafford Rangers, and the unbeaten run continues. We'll return to the relegation picture in a second, but let's talk about Morpeth Town. Morpeth Town were 5-1 winners on Saturday at Atherton Coles. Quite a comprehensive result, that, for Morpeth. That sees them 9 points from the playoffs, and they have 3 games in hand over Nantwich Town, 3 games in hand over FC United. They've actually got 6 games in hand over Lancaster City, who are a bit further ahead, but that's where Morpeth are at the moment. And to find out now the mood in the camp at Morpeth Town on Friday, I caught up with their manager. It's a welcome return to Nick Gray.
We're just at the second half of our season now. We're going to be playing Saturday, Tuesdays quite a bit, you know. So, you know, we'll learn quickly about the league. We just know we've got to do better the second half of the league if we want to have a say in the league, which we still think we've got an outside chance of doing.
How important is fitness over? I mean, this might sound like an obvious question, but it's not just focus, is it? It's fitness and that side of things, because you are having to cram in a lot of fixtures now.
We are. I mean, obviously, we're like the majority of part-time teams in the league. So what we're going to do is use the players as much as we can, utilise them. Like the League Cup games, we've been using the whole squad, you know, train when we can. When games are called off at the last minute, we've got training in place just in case. So, you know, we're quite happy how we are fitness-wise and with the whole squad.
I was going to mention the Integra League Cup. No disrespect to the competition, but I don't know whether to congratulate or commiserate you, because you were really, it's a fantastic victory on Wednesday night, a 5-2 win against South Shields. I mean, it's about momentum, isn't it? It's not just about fixtures. You want to be winning every game. So, you know, when it comes to the Integra League Cup, you've got players on the fringes there who are clearly biting and really, you know, engaging to try and get into the first team properly. So it must be a great problem to have at the moment.
No, of course it is. I mean, like you say, winning breeds confidence. And, you know, you want to use all your squad. And if you want people to have a say in the team selection, they'll do well for you. And that's what we've got at the minute. We've got 18, 19 hungry players who are doing smashing. So, you know, I don't want to diss the cup. You know, it's a competition where I think a lot of teams do use it as a learning curve about your squad and trying different things out. We'd be no different than that. Unfortunately, we're in the quarterfinals now, so you go to every game to try and win it. And we just take that as if we did a league game. And the teams have put out, they've been fantastic. And like I say, I've now got a bit of a headache with selection, but I'd rather have that than what I probably did 2 months ago.
So 9 points now from the player positions, 3 games in hand over Nantwich and FC United. I can't even work out how many games in hand you've got over Lancaster. 6, isn't it? They're just a bit further ahead. So the games are there, and it starts off with Hyde United this weekend. How are you shaping up for that one?
Shaping up fine. Hopefully the game will be on. You know, I've had a bit of rain up here, so fingers crossed it'll be on. And, you know, as I say, well, I've got some games in hand, but we just want to not look at the other teams, just concentrate real. We do little mini tables where we're trying to see what we need to do. Our home form's decent. We need to improve on the way of form. But as we're looking at it now, six of our last 7 games are at home. So if we can have a good run in the next 6 to 8 weeks, home and away, then, you know, we'll be in a good position going into the last stretch of the season.
And at the moment, like we said about the fitness side of it, there is the mental side of it as well. And we touched upon the fringes of the squad, but the squad more generally, overall, they seem to be getting some momentum going now in the league form. They seem to be up for it as well.
Oh, definitely. Like you say, we made a few changes on Wednesday night, and everyone was excellent. Because that's what you need. I mean, you can't rely on the same 11, 12 players. If someone gets injured, someone needs to step in. And if they haven't been playing minutes, then I would expect them to perform to the levels that we expect them of them. So you've got to trust your squad, which I do immensely. They're a good set of lads. I'm happy with them. And they're all fighting for the place. And they'll all be needed. You can't, you know, these mountain games, I can't have them, everyone playing 90 minutes, each 11 players all the time. They've got to be changed around. And what they know is that if their standards individually drop, then someone's going to take their place. So that's good for you. You know, it's good for momentum. It's good for standards keeping high, and hopefully that will take them good stead for the second half of the season.
And if the weather's good on Saturday and this match goes ahead, obviously the crowds are shooting up at Morpeth. They're really, really enjoying it this season. What's your message to the home faithful as you head into this important game with Hyde?
Yeah, I mean, they always say that a week ago we played Shields in the league and there was over 1,700 there, you know, which is our highest crowd ever. Then on Saturday we had a good win at Atherton. Then obviously we played Shields, and so we're hitting a bit of form now. So we're hoping that the crowds, don't think we'll get the 1,700 there. And obviously Hyde won't bring as many supporters as Shields did, but you know, we're still looking for, I would say, I'd like to get a 600 crowd there plus, and take that. That will also help the lads having decent crowds behind them, because we do try and play decent football. There's times you can't play decent football, and you know, the most important thing I would say is winning. But we do try and do it the right way. But you've got to mix the game up at times, and we've got that in abundance, I think, in our squad and the way we do try and play it. You know, Hyde will be a tough game, like it was at their place, but we're looking forward to it.
Morpeth Town manager Nick Gray there speaking to us here on the NPL show. They've leapfrogged over Witton Albion. Witton Albion were beaten 3-1 by Ashton United at Hurst Cross. And that now we'll return to the lower end of the table. So Ashton United there have moved 3 points ahead of Atherton Colls. They join 3 teams now, Buxton, Matlock Town and Ashton United. That's it at the moment, isn't it, with regards to the relegation picture. Those are the teams within range. Gainsborough Trinity are currently 7 points ahead of that pack there, and they do have 2 games in hand over the likes of Buxton. But Matlock do have 3 games in hand over Gainsborough, so still very much in play. Just to say, Buxton 3, Gainsborough Trinity 3 was a result on Saturday, and obviously Matlock didn't play in their game on Sunday. So it's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, same as I as well. We've got to give credit to Gainsborough Trinity. They are actually matching FC United for being beaten. I think they're on 11 themselves at this moment in time, which is the second longest in the division. It's really getting interesting on the bottom end of the table. Now, again, we're looking at six teams potentially that are really into a little bit of relegation scrap. They've all got, a lot of them have still got to play each other too.
Just two other results to talk about from the weekend. Michelover Sports 1, Whitby Town 3. That sees Whitby Town leapfrog over Michelover Sports now. Whitby Town, we discussed Morpeth earlier, but Whitby Town have got games in hand as well, haven't they? They're 10 points from the playoffs, and they've got three games in hand. So Whitby Town still involved. But last result we need to talk about from the weekend, Bamber Bridge 2, Grantham Town 1. James, have I told you my theory about Bamber Bridge? Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear it? Bamber Bridge are 10 points from the playoffs. There you go.
Well, we said that last week, didn't we?
We did, and I still maintain, that's what I'm saying.
They've got the players, they've got the squad to be able to pull that sort of pushing. Maybe, yeah, it's a bit too much of an asking point at this moment, particularly with how they started the season too. But never say never. That's one thing you've got to remember in football.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a lot more comfortable. I might be being a bit ambitious there on behalf of Bamber Bridge and Gainsborough Trinity fans, but the pitch is a lot more brighter than it was a few months ago, and that's really positive for both Gainsborough and Bamber Bridge. But that's our look back at last weekend's results in the Northern Premier League. In a second, we'll be hearing from Matt Carruthers, North East Non-League football reporter, with a fixture preview for this weekend. There's Integral League Cup matches taking place. Newcastle Town last night beat Buxton 3-1, which is a fantastic result in the third round. There's matches taking place tonight. Visit the league website for further details on those results and that kind of thing. But speaking of the league website, James, just give us some of the links that people need to visit on Saturday morning just to make sure their matches are on.
So, main ones are obviously the Twitter page gets the quickest updates. That's Northern Premier League. The league website, northernpremierleague.co.uk. Football web pages as well. So, as soon as it comes through, you can actually put a notification to say as soon as the club says it's off, you'll get it immediately. Your club's social media at the same time. Just so they will probably say if it's going to be off on or off before we tell them.
Well, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us. You have a good weekend, my friend, and we'll speak to you next week.
No, it's Ben. Thank you very much.
So, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show, but it's now time to draw our eyes to the future. And joining me now, hand in hand, gazing at a storm brewing. And I'm not just talking about Storm Dennis. I'm talking about the title race up at the top of the NPL Premier Division, as well as the playoff race and, of course, the race for survival. It's Mr. Matt Carruthers, North East Non-League football reporter. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Yourself?
I'm all good. That was very dramatic, wasn't it?
It was very dramatic. It was good. Been working on that one.
No, just made up on the spot, but I think it worked out well for all of us. Anyway, so loads of important games this weekend. We'll start things off talking about the top. We're recording this part of the show on Wednesday, so we've got no idea how Storm Dennis worked out or anything like that. But do on Saturday morning, just lick the end of your finger and stick it in the air. And do that kind of thing just to make sure the weather's okay. But do check Twitter and social media before setting off. But if these matches are on, it's going to be a seismic afternoon in the Premier Division, starting things off with a classic title-chasing team versus a team trying to get themselves away from the relegation zone. It's Grantham Town against South Shields. Ooh, banana skin, massive banana skin at this stage of the season, given how topsy-turvy everything is at the moment.
It is, and I think it's one of those ones where 5-6 weeks ago when South Shields were flying, you may have went that it was an easy win at Grantham. But all of a sudden, there's a little bit of shakiness going on at South Shields and a couple of bad results. Obviously, what happened last Saturday against Nantwich, the getting back to 1-1 and then being beaten 4-1 when they were chasing the game is not great. What they do have, though, is they do have a striker in form, and Jason Gilchrist, he's really hit a fine run of form. I just feel as if they're trying to wrestle and try and find what the best team is once again. They've brought in new players. They signed Darius Asai from Stirling.
We did discuss this last week, Mark. It's interesting, isn't it, what's been going on? Because the consensus around the table at the monthly review show was South Shields are signing these players to seal the deal rather than being worried. But they have to hit the ground running, these new signings, as soon as they arrive, which is a difficult challenge.
It is, yeah, and particularly when they've got a certain style of player that they like to put into action. They're very much a passing side, a patient side. I think Darius Asai will give them a bit of an injection of pace up top. I think that's something that they were missing. The signing of Stefan Gonzalez, they've never had really that physical presence up top, unless John Shaw played up front. So I think they've maybe looked at plugging that. They've just brought in a holding midfielder as well. So there are changes being made that I think they needed to get maybe a more rounded squad. But as you say, with that comes a settling in period for these players, and they are going to have to hit the ground running, and that'll have to start on Saturday, because going to Grantham, we know what you're going to get at Grantham. It's going to be tough. You're going to be up for a battle. The pitch is a big pitch there, and it's not going to be easy. I do think South Shields will come through that. If I'm honest, I think they'll sneak it, but I think it won't be as comfortable as it maybe would have been 3-4 weeks ago.
No, absolutely not. Grantham Town 25 points, they're second bottom at the moment. Stafford Rangers 6 points back, but suddenly picking up results and getting points here or there. Atherton Coles also on 25 points. They're in that third bottom spot, which I've still not come up with a name for. they've got games in hand, though. Ashton United 3 points up the road, as are Matlock Town, as are Buxton. Awfully, awfully tight between the bottom six at the moment. But more on that in a second. But I'm going to christen the next match as Game of the Weekend. That's right, dear listener. I'm going out on a limb on this one. And I'm going to say Nantwich Town against Bakersfield United is a big one.
It is, and I would agree. It's Game of the Weekend. I think, Nantwich, what a result it was for them last week. And to be as clinical as they were, I know the scoreline may have been given a bit of a false look with two goals coming in injury time. But Nantwich, by all accounts, were well worth the 3 points at South Shields. And I just feel boosted by that. They'll get a win here against Bakersfield as well. Ironically, 7 days after beating South Shields, it could do them a favour by beating Bakersfield as well. But I've got to be honest, I think Nantwich might sneak that one.
Oh, that would be huge, wouldn't it? It really would be huge, that. I think I'm right in saying this. Just let me check my stats, my sources here. And that would set up next Saturday, Lancaster City against Nantwich Town.
Yes.
So, yeah. Nantwich, they've put themselves back in this, haven't they?
They have. And can you imagine if they got two wins over the next 2 weeks as well? There's not many sides this season they'll be able to say that they've beaten the top three in consecutive games. It'd be unbelievable. But I always think Nantwich, with the players they've got, the experience they've got, the power and the pace that they've got up front in particular, there's always a chance they can win a game at the drop of a hat. So I think they'll win Saturday and set themselves up for that game against Lancaster.
And I'll tell you what, dear listener, it's even bigger than I first thought, because the following game after Lancaster, Nantwich host FC United. What on earth is going on there? That's ridiculous.
So, someone at Nantwich must be cursing that fixture computer.
Wow. Anyway, that's superb stuff. We'll probably get Dave Cook on in the lead up to those games, I'd imagine. But yeah, cracking stuff there. And Bakersfield United travelling to Nantwich Town there on Saturday, the 15th of February. Very much in the here and now. Let's talk about the team currently sitting third in the league table. Lancaster City, a phenomenal win for them last weekend. They'll be hosting Michelover Sports. That's a tricky game, that one, for Lancaster, because Michelover, apart from the result against Whitby last week and South Shields a few weeks ago, they have been in good form.
They have been. It didn't seem too long since we were talking about them as possible playoff contenders, but I think, Whitby have gone there and done a number on them, haven't they? And I think Whitby have got that in them. Obviously, we'll talk about them in a moment, so I wouldn't read too much into that game, but I do think this one, Lancaster will just have too much. I think there's too much experience in that Lancaster side to slip up here, and I think they'll win this game by a couple of goals.
FC United currently sitting in fourth position, 4 points behind Lancaster City, but they do have 3 games in hand. FC United will be hosting Atherton Coles on Saturday in a bit of a Greater Manchester derby there at Broadhurst Park. Big game this one for FC United, who've... It's tough to say this because they played 3 straight draws recently.
Yeah.
But, one was against Michelover Sports where they came back 3 times. one was away at Buxton and one was away at Baysford. So I don't know if this is a blip or not or what have you, but what's your view from afar?
I think that what that would tell me is that they're difficult to beat. And I think I could be wrong here, but I think FC United have lost the least amount of games in the league along with Warrington. They've both lost only five.
Yes.
So I think that tells you you've got a side there that are tough to beat, that are disciplined and organised and more than anything, never know when they're beaten. So, you know, the example you've said there where they've come back three times. Point, I always think when it gets to this stage of the season, any point is a big point, especially when they're in the chase for the title or for the playoffs. Saturday, I think they will have too much for Atherton. I think there have been slight improvements at Atherton, but just not quite enough to expect them to beat FC United, who I think obviously having Awolabi up front, who's in form and is always a threat. I just think they'll have too much, and I think FC United will take 3 points here and kick on from there.
Now, Mark, if your predictions are correct that both Nantwich and FC United will be winning this weekend, and just to say, dear listener at home, those are the views of Mark, not myself. Warrington Town will need a win to ensure the gap stays at 4 points. At the moment, the gap is 4 points, but it could be seven based on my rough mathematics. Warrington on Saturday will be travelling to Ashton United. Tough game. FC picked up a win at Ashton United as Michael Clegg just took over. And the general view from the coaching staff was there's going to be a lot of teams who come here as the new coaching staff settles in at Hurst Cross who are not going to get a result like this one. Ashton United are starting to string it together now, aren't they? This is tough for Warrington.
They are, and I always expected that to happen under Michael Clegg. I think he's a talented coach, someone who's well connected in the area, as you'll know. He has, you know, looked to strengthen that squad. I think he'll improve players that he's got there. And you are right. I think all of a sudden this game becomes a very, very tough one for Warrington. It's got a look of the South Shields Grantham game we spoke of earlier, where, again, a couple of months ago, you might have thought that would be an easy win for Warrington. But all of a sudden, there's a little bit of doubt in the mind. I'm going to call a draw on this one. I think it'll be a draw.
There we go. Right, let's talk about Scarborough. Scarborough have started to creep up on everyone, haven't they? They have played a fair few games more than everyone else, but they have got points on the board. Scarborough will be hosting Bamber Bridge. Just to give you an update on where Bamber Bridge are in the league table, based on last week's show, we were saying Bamber Bridge 10 points from the playoff positions. Scarborough a bit closer, 6 points. But there we go. I mean, what do you think for this one? Scarborough playoff contenders, do you think? Can they become stronger playoff contenders?
Yes, I think so. The one thing that'll hurt them is the fact that teams around them have got games in hand. So, you know, it is a long shot, I think. But if the teams around them keep dropping points, not that I've tipped them to, but if the teams around them do drop points, then they've got to be ready to take advantage. I think the thing with Scarborough is that you just never know what you're going to get from them. They are very unpredictable, which is sadly what I'm trying to do here. But they do have a goal threat. They will always score goals. I think they'll win on Saturday, if I'm honest. I think they'll get a win, buoyed by the win last week at Hyde as well. The playoffs, yes, they are contenders, but I think it may just be a stretch.
Well, Stalybridge Celtic were in and around the playoffs for a long time, but they've started to drop down a bit now. I still think Simon Howarth would say, I mean, they have had a phenomenal season, haven't they, so far compared to last year. So, job done with that regard. It has definitely been a step in the right direction this year for Stalybridge. They'll be travelling, speaking of steps in the right direction, they'll be travelling to Gainsborough Trinity on Saturday. Gainsborough have been in great form recently. When I say recently, Gainsborough Trinity are the most informed team in the league. They've really come into their own now under Curtis Woodhouse, haven't they? We talked about Michael Clegg earlier, but Curtis has done a phenomenal job there. Just to give everyone an update on Gainsborough Trinity, they're 12 points from the playoff positions currently. So if they keep it up, I mean, it's a tall ask to keep it up, though, isn't it, at this stage?
It really is. What I think, these two clubs are in a kind of similar situation here, where I think say a top half finish would be a success for both, given what's gone on. You know, last season with Stalybridge and this season with Gainsborough. What is crazy is that eight places separate them in the league, and I think it's only 4 points difference between eight clubs. Gainsborough on 35 and Stalybridge on 39. That shows how tight that middle section of the league is. So, I think it is great to see what Curtis has done there. He has done a fantastic job since what was a worrying start of the season. He's really rejuvenated them. Really not an easy one to call with this one again. So I think I'll just sit on the fence and say I think it'll be a draw. If I was going to have to hedge and bet, I think I'll go Gainsborough win.
And if you're wondering what I'm doing, dear listener, because I keep saying this, don't I? I said it on the show last week as well about Bamber Bridge and Gainsborough Trinity. You just don't know. And it would be an incredible story if Gainsborough Trinity just keep on getting these results, because they will rise up the table and there will be slip-ups from the teams in and around the top five at the moment. So
I agree with that, but I think I don't think there'll be enough slip-ups from the current top five to let them in. So they may well get enough points to get in and around there, but I just can't see anyone from Warrington upwards getting slipping up enough to let them in.
Well, Gainsborough Trinity fans, you'll also notice as well that no one's agreed with me on the show, but I did put it out there. Anyway,
That just gives you a chance to say, I told you so at the end of the season, doesn't it?
And then if I'm wrong, no one remembers. That's how it works. Anyway, let's talk about Morpeth Town. Morpeth Town have started to move up the table slightly. They're hosting Hyde United, and the two of them are separated by 1 point in the league table. But when you look at the games played, Tally, we talked about Bamber Bridge and Gainsborough being outside Betts and Scarborough, but blooming heck, Morpeth, if they can get games played and can get the wins on the board, more importantly, they're challenges, aren't they?
Now, Morpeth are the ones that I would say do have a chance. I mean, they've got three games in hand on FC United and Nantwich. They've got six on Lancaster City. They've got five on Beresford. So I think they are right in there. And I look at what Nicky Gray's done in the transfer market recently. I think I mentioned this last time I was on. He's brought in some genuine quality, the likes of Ryan Hutchinson from Blyth Spartans, Callum Williams from Spennymoor. You know, players coming from higher up the pyramid. Liam Noble, obviously, from Hartlepool. There's real genuine quality in that squad now. I think the only one that came from lower down the pyramid was Carl Finnegan, who has scored goals at this level for South Shields as well. So I do think Morpeth have got a great chance. And you look at that home record, just 1 defeat in 10 games in the league. I think I'm right in saying a lot of the games in hand are at Craig Park. So I genuinely feel that Morpeth are more realistic contenders for a playoff place than Scarborough or Stalybridge. But the problem is they've got to make those games count. And the more points to the drop, the more pressure there will be on all of those games in hand. But there's certainly the quality in that squad to get them into the playoffs or certainly have a good go at doing it.
There's a team currently sitting on the same number of points as Morpeth Town, but they have played six games more. That's Witton Albion, currently sitting 10th in the league table. They'll be travelling to Matlock Town on Saturday. Obviously, it's been a very difficult period for Matlock Town. We saw the performance against Hyde United. I know it was a draw, but you know there was a level of determination in that squad. They're going to be very unpredictable for the remainder of the season, aren't they, Mark?
They really are, and it's such a tight fit at the bottom. I mean, Grantham 25, as I said earlier, Atherton 25, and then Ashton, Matlock and Buxton on 28. It's going to be such an exciting end to the season. The one thing that may help Matlock is the games in hand, but again, as we said, they've got to make those games count. There is quality in that squad, but it needs to come to the fore now, and they need to start getting points on the board to get themselves away from the lower part of the table.
Because this is it, isn't it? I mean, the bottom six at the moment. Let's talk about Stafford Rangers, because Stafford Rangers, we had Andy Fern on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, we're going to get players back, and as soon as that happens, then he predicts an upturn in form, and we've seen that. The teams above Stafford might be on notice now. That said, Stafford have got to go to Whitby on Saturday, which is immensely tough.
It is, and Whitby have got a striker in form, and Paul Blackett, who they got on loan from Gateshead, a very, very good striker that I think Gateshead knew that he needed game time. He just wasn't going to get it with them in the National League North. But he seems to have found life at Whitby to his liking. He's never stopped scoring since. Callum Patton, the same, come back from injury, had a little loan spell at North Shields in the Northern League. He's gone back to Whitby and got two goals at Mickleover last week. So, Whitby have really hit form. Stafford, appreciate what the joint manager's saying.
Five games unbeaten now, Stafford.
They have, but I still think it's just a bit of a stretch to see them get out of there. I mean, teams above, again, have got games in hand apart from Buxton, so they'll be the ones that they're trying to catch, I think, more than Matlock and Ashton. Ashton got two games in hand, Matlock got three. It's going to be a tough one going to Whitby, who, could move into the top eight this week. But I do think it'll be a Whitby win, and I predict even Paul Blackwell will score again.
There we go. You mentioned teams who are in the sights of the likes of Grantham and Stafford Rangers and Atherton Coles and the like. But is one of those teams Radcliffe at the moment, do you feel? Because Radcliffe are hosting Buxton on Saturday. This is a huge game, isn't it? Because the gap between Buxton and Radcliffe is 8 points currently. But Radcliffe don't look like they're going to pick up a point at the moment. They're really struggling, aren't they?
I think they've just about got enough points on the board.
Right.
And if I'm honest, just to not be looking over the shoulders too much. However, you know, another couple of defeats down the road, and then you may well think that things become a little bit more serious. But personally, I think they're just out of it. I think it's now from Buxton downwards. We're looking at the bottom six as the ones that are going to fill up those two places. I think Radcliffe could get a win this weekend to really sort of seal it. It is crazy. Again, like I said earlier, if they do get a win and results go their way, they could be as high as ninth.
Well, that's actually... that's it. We've covered all the fixtures, Mark. Sorry to sound surprised at home, dear listener, but it just crept up on us. We've finished the fixture preview for this weekend. Some very, very important matches there, and Radcliffe v Buxton certainly one of them, but loads of fixtures this weekend, up at the top end, up at the bottom end, up in the middle. It's all happening. And speaking of it all happening, Mark, you've got a series of interviews out at the moment, so about to come out as well. Tell us a bit more about them.
Yeah, so the Shields Gazette and the Sunderland Echo, two local papers. I'm producing some special features on ex-Newcastle and Sunderland players that are now playing in non-league. The first one was published last week on Sunday, which was with Morpeth Town's Jeff Henderson. He started his career at Newcastle United. And there's a few tales in there about the likes of Joey Barton, Kevin Nolan, Johan Cabaye, Hatton Ben Arfa. He talks about when he went to play in Ireland with Sligo Rovers and coming back to play for Morpeth and everything that has brought with it. So I've got a few players lined up for the next few weeks. They'll be coming out via either the Sunderland Echo or Shields Gazette website, and they'll be on my Twitter as well.
Which is
Mark Crothers _. And while I'm here, I'll give another quick plug for my book, for Northern Goal, which is... covering the last 40 years of Northeast success in the FA of Oz. It's selling very well, a lot better than I thought it would. And it's available for $10.99 via Amazon. All proceeds go to the If You Care Share Foundation, which is a suicide prevention charity, and the Motor Neuron Disease Association. So they get all the profits from the book.
And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining us on this week's show. And you can follow Mark's work on Twitter. That's at @MarkCarruthers_. But that's it for this week's MPL show. Just a reminder that it is supposed to be pretty horrible this weekend with regards to the weather. So do check your club's social media channels as well as the leagues before setting off on Saturday to your match. But that's it for this week's MPL show. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.